Tim, I'm sending test audio for you. Tim?
Okay, I can hear it loud and clear. The microphones are open. I'll put you back in, so the minute anybody else starts talking, you'll be able to be picked up on the recording, okay?
All right, you're talking into the room, so we have things ready to go. Thank you.
Okay, please go ahead, sir.
So, hello everyone, and thank you for being here. Actually, we're still setting up the Adobe Connect room, so we'll delay for a couple minutes. But those, we still have plenty of room in the plenty of chairs on the table. So, please feel free to sit at the table. apologies for the delay. I guess we're almost there. Thank you for staying around. Okay, so welcome everyone. I was just told that the I guess the remote participation will take another about 10 minutes to get set up. So, if there's no, you know, violent objection, I'd like to get it started, get our meeting started here first, and then we'll get connected whenever that's ready. So, thank you, everyone, for joining us. This is the JIG meeting, the joint IDN working group between the CCNSO and GNSO. Just as a very quick background, I see some new faces, that this is a group that was formed as a mutual charter between the CCNSO and the GNSO to look at issues of common interest about IDNs between CCTLDs and GTLDs. So we've identified three particular issues of common interest. One is single character IDN TLDs, the other is IDN variant TLDs, and the third one is universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Today, as we have, this is a sort of a working group meeting, but an open one during the ICANN meetings. We are continuing the discussion we had. We had a couple of preparation meetings prior to this one, and one with an update from the VIP team. Good to have Dennis here with us. We'll get an update from the VIP team on the IDN variant TLD issue, and we'll go into a discussion of how perhaps this group can continue to coordinate with the VIP and what are the next steps. The other issue that we'll spend some time on today is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. We are happy to have the staff team working on that here. I think Kim will be giving us an update. Both updates were sort of provided during our last couple of meetings as well, but since we usually have a better attendance here at ICANN, I thank you both, Dennis and Kim, for repeating some of that so that it leads us into a discussion of some of the next steps that this group can do. So before I jump into the actual agenda, Jane, did you want to add anything? Okay, if not, I'd like to do a quick roll call of sort of just who's around the room and just mention who you are. So I'll start from Avery, if that's okay.
Avery Doria, NCSG, and .gay LLC.
Ricardo Pedraza from VeriSign.
Minjung Park from Korea, KISA.
Naila Saras, ICANN staff, and I'm actually on both the variant project and the TLD acceptance.
Chris Dillon, University College London.
Gabriella Schitzek, CCNSO Secretariat.
Edmund Chung from Dot Asia and also co-chair of the JIG from the GNSO.
Jian Zhang from APTLD, also the co-chair from CCNSO.
Dennis Jennings, consultant project leader on the IDN variant issues program.
Bart Buswinkel, I can stop.
Yang Li, CCNSO Council.
Chuck Gomes, VeriSign.
Elise Garrick, ICANN.
Daniel Kalchev, .bg.
Kim Davies from ICANN.
Andrei Kolesnikov, .ru.
Siavash Shashani, I'm just an IDN enthusiast.
sorry. Those around the table, if you can introduce yourself quickly, if you wish to, or if you don't mind. Okay, thank you all for being here. Oh, there's... Thank you everyone. And I see Samad coming in. So I guess with that, I'll jump right into the agenda. If we do have time by the end, after the discussion, I was hoping as a sort of an AOB to talk a little bit about the future of this working group as well, and what we want to do. So, but before that, I'll pass it to Dennis, who will give us an update. But I don't know where I should give this, who I should give this
Are the slides available? I have them on my computer, but it's a Mac, and I don't have the dongle thingy. What's it?
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, it's not the right one. There we go.
We'll wreck the room.
Okay, that's not what I want. I want to... That.
Was this one correct?
Yeah, that's it. Brilliant. Excellent. I can claim technical brilliance.
It's gone.
It's gone. What did I do? I claimed too much. Is that a feature or a bug? Ah.
Just talk.
Very sensitive.
Okay. For the record, this is Dennis Jennings, technician extraordinary. He's just got the slides up. So we're going to have a quick update on the IDN variant TLD's program. I'm going to use the same slide deck, almost the same slide deck, that we'll be using on Thursday for the public presentation. So I'm going to flip through it rather quickly because I don't want to take too much of your time, but encourage you to come to the Thursday session at noon, 12 o'clock, where we'll go through this in more detail and have more detailed questions. So here's the agenda. Look at the program, present the projects in the program to be completed in 2012-13, that's in fiscal year 13. Summary of the follow-on projects. We're going to make some announcements on staff and consultants, if we can, on Thursday. Remind you about the call for volunteers for P2.1 and take questions. So, background, you know the background. We've gone through this a number of times. The various issues project kicked off by a decision of the board. Six case studies developed their reports. An integrated issues report developed, published just before Christmas, the end of the year, and completed and finalized in February of 2012. And arising from that that report, the Integrated Issues Report, it identified a number of next steps which have been used to define the goals of this program. Goals are to define the processes that must be in place to enable the management of IDN variant TLD. So it's the next step. We've identified the issues, we've now defined the processes, and hopefully implement IDNs at the end of the two stages involved in this program. A point to note is the work is focused on exchangeable code point variants only, and that is because the advice we got was that whole string variants should not be prioritized at this time. So based on that, we put up for public comment in March the original timeline, which you may remember looked like that, and we got quite a bit of public comment. And these are the sort of headings that we synopsized the public comment on. Expand the number of scripts, that's implicit in what we do. There's a lot of support for variant TLDs, well, that's implicit in what we do. Prioritization of code point variants over whole string variants. And there are arguments made in the Integrated Issues Report that show the difficulty of having any definitive definition of what a whole string variant is. So rather than delay the program working on that, the advice from the community was defer that, prioritize code point variants. Meet the individual community needs, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the discussion, and try not to advantage or disadvantage any particular script community. So that's the feedback we got. On the basis of that, we revised the program plan and published a new one, which is out for comment. This is some of the comment that we're now getting. Some similar comments, some concern about meeting individual script communities' needs, concern that ideally IDN variant TLDs would be delegated in the first batch of the new gTLDs, which I think is unlikely, although if the GAC's idea of early warning is to take 4 months, maybe the new GTLD program would be so delayed that we'll catch up. But I shouldn't say things like that. That's very naughty of me. Collaboration with the technical language communities, that's absolutely a sine qua non of what we're going to do. It's going to be based on a volunteer effort in a number of cases, and get the terminology right. One of the things you may have noticed in the new document that was published is we reverted to IDN tables rather than the label generation rule set. And we're probably going to revert back because code point repertoire and label generation rule set are more precise terms that were developed out of the integrated issue study, and I think it's better to use those, although that's a discussion we're having internally at the moment. So the revised project plan focuses on issues in the critical path. Project one, and we kept the same project numbering to avoid confusion, so the same numbering in this plan as there was in the original published plan. Focus on three projects in the program: the table format tool, the process, agreeing the process for creation and maintenance of the table for the root or the label generation rule set for the root, and to study the user experience with active variants to work out how and what are the criteria to ensure an acceptable user experience when variant TLDs, IDN variant TLDs are activated, and to reprioritize the other projects. So as a result of that, the revised timeline, which is now published, and I think the public comment ends this week. Now, Nayla, can you, what's the date for the end of public comment?
So the public comment ended last Friday.
Oh, and
the 15th.
Sorry, it has ended, and we're in the process of summarizing and so on. Sorry. Yeah, thank you. So we'll be summarizing the public comments and producing the usual report, but here is the revised timeline. And as you can see, we've prioritized the projects in green, Project 1, Project 2.1, and Project 6, as I've described, and that pulls forward the key decision, the go-no-go decision, to I think it's April of 2013, when all going well, and assuming that there's no objection from the ICANN board, we move on to the next projects. So the projects to be completed are the IDN table format specification or the label generation rule set, the specification of the format of how that rule set is expressed. That work has started. Kim Davies has published a document, and it's being discussed among the technical community, and we'll hear a bit more about that on Thursday. Project 2.1, the process for creating and maintaining the IDN tables for the root zone, is the key technical project, and it must be completed before any IDN variant TLDs may be implemented. So it's the key project that we have to develop. And the follow-on project is, of course, to fill the tables. And the timeline for that, and again, we'll go through this in more detail on Thursday, basically envisages that if we keep to this timeline, we'll consult in August with a team of volunteers, post the first process in September for public comment, second round of consultation with the volunteer teams, post the final draft process for public comment, and publish the process in March 2013. So that's our goal. So if we get going, we should be able to complete this and finalize the community agreed process for the table or the label generation rule set for the route by March 2013, which will be then a key milestone. The third project, Project 6, is the user experience project, looking at the implications of that. And the key idea is that there must be a reliable, predictable way of handling, from a user's perspective, interacting with variant TLDs that doesn't create additional user confusion. And this project, of course, also has to be completed. The timeline for that is slightly quicker, we think. There's a document that we'll be discussing, a study proposal that we'll be discussing in the second half of the meeting on Thursday, which will then be published. We'll be executing the study that's proposed, a draft report in September, second public consultation in Toronto, revise the report, and publish in January. So these three projects should be finished by, as I say, April of 2013, and allow us to proceed towards implementing the processes and in due course delegating and activating IDN variant TLDs. The follow-on projects are Project 2.2, which is to take the process that's been designed in Project 2.1 and actually fill out the table according to that process, whether that is the whole table all at once or focusing on particular scripts and communities. That'll come out of P2.1, and then we'll implement that and populate the table, the label generation rule set for the root zone in 2.2. And that may go, parts of that may, if we take a differential approach that allows some communities to proceed more rapidly, then that will happen quite quickly, may happen quite quickly in 2013 for some communities. And then, of course, we have the more administrative and possibly policy issues, updating ICANN's processes and programs and updating ICANN's operations to cope with variant TLD sets of variants in a TLD set. So a number of issues have already been identified, and more, I'm sure, will be identified as we go through the project. And we've flagged a few of them here. Our general thinking is that these issues can be addressed within the current CCNSO and GNSO policy framework and ICANN's operational framework, but we don't know that for certain. So there may be policy issues that arise here, and whether those are policy issues that need consensus policies or not, we don't know. Our working principle is that the current policy framework will be sufficient, but we'll have to see. The first is an IDN variant TLD set, and whether that's an atomic item, the atomicity of IDN variant TLD sets. What does that mean? That means, can you break them up? Are they a complete set? So once you have an IDN string and its variants, is that an atomic, indivisible set? So if there's a challenge to one element in the set, one of the variants, then it's a challenge to the complete set, or can the set be broken up, and what does that mean? That's an issue. What are the conditions for delegating, apart from the meeting the technical requirements that will emerge from the program? What are the evaluation requirements and fees? There are obviously some issues there, and presumably the policy framework of cost recovery will apply there as well. Ongoing fees for registries and registrars, since we're talking about perhaps multiples here and more work, is that an issue? We think it may be. Requirements for registries and registrars, contractual and other requirements to ensure that whatever rules emerge in this program are implemented by registries and registrars. Who is, and rights protection mechanisms to protect rights which may or may not be infringed by a string or its variants, which leads back to the first point, is this an atomic unit or not? And I'm sure there'll be more issues. And one of the things that we will do as we identify issues is we'll try and encapsulate them and report them to the JIG, to the CCNSO, the GNSO, and so on, so that everybody's aware of the issues as they develop. Nearly the last thing I want to highlight is that as in the issues projects, we are calling for volunteers for project 2.1. We're looking for volunteers with expertise in DNS, IDNA, Unicode, and especially in linguistics to help us to work out the process for building these tables. And we ideally like people who have an understanding of ICANN's roles and responsibilities, including policy development, although we don't think that's a key requirement, but an understanding of the framework in which this is all happening. That call has been published. Responses should be sent in by the 13th of July. The link is there, and we're very keen that we have significant community involvement. Although, having said that, the response has already been so enthusiastic that I think our challenge is not going to be to fill the post, but actually to find a way of discriminating in some way, or selecting in some way, discriminate is not a good word, finding the right balance between the enthusiasm and a manageable number of volunteers, and we haven't yet sorted that out. Probably of the order of two people from each community, but again, there's a discussion to be had around that. So please, if you are interested, and I know I've talked to a lot of people who are very interested, please volunteer, because it is critically important to the credibility of this process that this project is a community-driven process and is agreed by the community. Session is on Thursday at 12 noon. Please attend, and I'm now ready to take any questions.
Thank you, Dennis. Any questions? Here. Seeing no particular question. There's one, please. Could you come to the mic? Sorry, I think it's... come to the mic.
Hi, Jason Polis. Have you already gathered a list of IDN strings and variants that are in demand by various CCTLDs and other generic TLDs?
Well, the information we have comes from the CCTLD fast track, so we know what IDNs have been asked for there, and from the applications for the new GTLD. So that will provide an information base. But as you know, in the new GTLD program, no variants will be delegated. So if a variant is claimed, it'll be noted, but it won't be acted on until this program has delivered the processes that I'm talking about.
I have Sia Vash and then Andrew. Or did you want to jump right into that, add to that?
Just another question about the presentation, just a general question. Looking at the list of applications, GTLD applications, of the 15 applications in Arabic script, 11 of them have IDN variants, and I mean code point exchange variants, not just general variants. I'm just wondering what's happening in other scripts like Cyrillic and Chinese and so on. Do you have as many variants in there too?
I don't have that information. I haven't looked at that from that perspective, so I can't answer the question. Has anyone had time on the team to look at the applications and the variants? I don't think we've got to it, but thank you for the reminder. We will look at that.
Thank you. Actually, I missed part of it, but I guess you were talking about the new GTLD, the IDN ones, which ones have variants. I think that's a very interesting aspect, and I think that gives us real life data of what we need to handle. So, Andrew.
Andrew Sullivan, I was actually just going to ask why we think it's relevant what people are claiming, because, of course, what we were saying was that you have to develop the process by which you define those rules and the rules for the variants before you know whether a variant is there or not. So I'm just three of these now have asserted, that there are these things that are variants, and I'm extremely nervous about that assertion. So I'd like to know why we think that's important.
Well, let me pick that up, because, of course, you're absolutely right. There may be an assertion that this is a variant by the applicant, but we do not know, we ICANN and we this team do not know that that's a correct assertion, and we will not know that it's a correct assertion until we've done P2.1 to develop the process, and then P2.2 to fill out the label generation rule set. Then we will have the tools that ICANN must have to be able to actually say, yes, we agree, we, the community who have built this process and these tables, agree that that is a variant. And until we've done that, we can't answer that question. Is that the point you're trying to make, Andrew?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dennis and Andrew. I guess what was raised, I guess in response to Andrew's question as well, I think why there is relevance is perhaps because also that maybe you cannot use that as a user expectation, but at least after we create the tables and after we create the process, we could use this as a reference to check back and see whether they reconcile, and if they do or not might not be a particular we can't draw any conclusion at this point yet, but they're definitely good references, I guess. Dennis.
But to be fair, we expect that all these applications will have been made by knowledgeable and responsible people who will then be contributing to the processes and to filling out the tables. So we do expect that there will be consistency through this, although I'm just flagging that we don't have a tool to check it. So we have responsibility for what is a variant and what is not in the route, are not able to say to these applicants, we agree that that is a variant or not. But the positive thing is that if people are being responsible and participate, it is likely that those will emerge through this process as variants, but not certain.
There is some implications as well. This is Edmund again. Because there currently, as far as I read the applicant guidebook, what is identified there, even though we cannot assert it yet, will be considered in this sort of a contention set consideration. So the longer we take to complete our work, the longer it will still be considered a contention set. So it is being used in a way currently already. So with that, I don't see any further clarification questions. I'd like to move into a little bit of discussion of how we could continue to support from the JIG, how we could continue to support the VIP work. My first question is sort of Dennis, you mentioned that you have received more than enough. Well, I shouldn't say that. A lot of volunteers already, but I think from the JIG, we'd like to encourage more people to apply, so that you have an even better pool of people to select from. But also, one of the things that perhaps we can get your sense from is is whether it is useful to have an observer from the JIG at the new phase of the VIP work. Previously, I guess myself has been acting as an observer in the previous stages from the JIG. I wonder if that's an area we could explore.
Dennis here again for the record. I think we on the team, and I think the JIG found it useful to have that observer role. If you did find it useful and you would think it useful again to have an observer role in this program, then please make that request. We'll consider it. I'm not authorized to say yay or nay on the fly like this, but yes, I think that's a good idea to make that request, and we'll come back to you promptly.
Thank you, Dennis, for the prompt preliminary response. I'd like to open to other work group members and team members and see if there is any thoughts on that, whether that seems to make sense. We've been reporting to and from the VIP and see if there's any comments or thoughts on that continuing, or at least us suggesting to the VIP that continues. Okay, seeing no particular objection, I'll put this forward to the list just as a suggestion, and perhaps we'll put forward a suggestion to the VIP on that. With that, I move to another part, which I'm hoping we would have some discussion. Is Dennis, if you could move back to one of the slides about the other issues. I think one more. Yes, this particular one. I think this identified issues, you mentioned atomicity, fees, who is, rights protection mechanisms. This is, I guess for the JIG, this might be a very good set of items that we could potentially start looking into in parallel with the VIP work. These are certainly issues that touch on policy, CCNSO and GNSO policies. One of the things that the JIG is sort of designed to do is to focus on the policy aspects of these issues. So I'd like to open it up to working group members or anyone around the table, actually, to my sort of suggestion maybe that the group start to take this preliminary list on board and look into whether there is policy implications and whether there are need for GNSO or CCNSO policy recommendations, updates, or clarifications to existing policy recommendations. They include the fees, the registry registrar requirements, who is, rights protection mechanism. I think Dennis, first of all, thank you thank you for the team of coming up with this list. Perhaps this forms a beginning of a checklist for us to check back with the two SOs to make sure whether they are have policy implications. So I wonder if anyone has any thoughts or I was hoping either Chuck or Avery with their much more experience on the GNSO process to offer any thoughts or Bart?
I make a suggestion that we use this list on the upcoming, say, the first JIG call or two, so that it can sink in and people can rethink whether it has implications before doing this on the fly.
Sure. But if you know, if anyone here has any initial thoughts, then it might be useful. Samad?
So, this is Samad. Question about the first point there, and I guess I'm trying to understand whether that's a technical issue which should be handled by IETF, or is that something which we need to answer here and develop as a requirement? So I'm talking about the atomicity of IDNs. It also relates to the concept of having a fundamental label. It also has implications on what are the different states a variant may have, and also has implications on whether these states actually can change over time. So I guess the question is, what's the right forum to answer some of these questions?
Dennis?
Yes, Dennis here again. Thank you, Sarmat. We're a bit schizophrenic about this list because I'm not sure that we know enough about some of these issues in terms of answering some of the questions that will arise in order to consider whether there's a policy issue here. So I think more work needs to be done on this particular one, on the code point repertoire and the label generation rule set, before running along on policies on a hypothetical situation where we may find that it's not possible to do anything else but to consider a variant set as an atomic unit for technical reasons. Right? So, on the other hand, we don't want to wait so long that a policy issue arises late and has to be considered, and will delay the program because we're aware of the anxiety that people want to move on with this program. And yet, on the other hand, we don't want to encourage too much policy work too soon in case the technical work says, well, whatever you say about policy, you know, the dynamics of aircraft wings is what holds the aircraft up, and you can't do anything about it. Whatever. So I don't know where we are on this. So that's why we're flagging the list of issues. We're not encouraging lots of policy work, because I think when you look at these, we don't have enough specific answers on the technical side to give guidance. And that just responding to what you've said, Simon.
I have Chuck for next, but just a very short comment on this. I think, you know, that's part of what I sort of raised, is that we'd like to for this group to consider whether looking at it, and perhaps that particular bullet point is to be struck out, and this is not something we could consider at this point. But, you know, there might be some that, you know, for example, the evaluation process, the fees, you know, if there is a variant TLD delegated, that certainly needs some kind of process, and perhaps that's an area that's more clear cut. But anyway, Chuck, and then I'll come back to Samad.
Thanks, Edmund. Just looking at your list, first of all, I think Dennis is right. We don't have enough information in most of these cases to really get too specific in terms of what's needed or even start to develop policy. If I look at the first one, you know, that looks like maybe more a technical issue, although maybe not. But until we know more, it's how do we tell? Maybe it's both. Conditions for delegating, I assume that relates to CCTLDs, am I correct? Delegating IDN variants. Although I guess, well, no. It would relate to GTLDs eventually if someone applied for a GTLD variant or wanted to implement one. So I guess it does apply to both, doesn't it? Okay, so as you can tell, I'm thinking out loud as I go. Evaluation requirements and fee, there's a third category, I think. You've got technical, policy, or both, and then you've got implementation details. And I think that evaluation requirements and fee probably is an implementation topic. Once you know what kind of costs are involved to make this thing happen, very much like the new GTLD process. Ongoing fees for registries and registrars is similar. I think the same category as the previous one. Requirements for registries and registrars, that sounds like it could be a policy issue, because to make some of these things happen and require adoption across all registries and registrars, you're going to need a consensus policy. Now, this is going to sound unbelievable, but maybe because of the technical work that's done, that's not a terribly complicated policy issue. Some people think I'm being naive, and I sometimes have a tendency to do that. But I do think that's probably a policy issue of some degree of it anyway. Who is output? That's kind of being worked already in the various who is things that are going on. Some of that work may need to be tweaked with regard to ID invariance, but, you know, I hope that the foundation for that is being set. Once we know the details of the variance, we're going to have to go back and probably revisit that and see if any tweaks are necessary. Rights protection mechanisms, again, I may be wrong on this, but I think the foundation's set for that. May have to be clarified with regard to whatever comes out of variance.
Thank you, Chuck. Samad?
So it's, at least for me personally, it's hard to disassociate the first item from all the rest in the list. The questions I raised on statuses, change of statuses, has actually implications on all the items on the list here. I think it's an atomic issue which has to be solved. I don't think you can separate it out that easily.
Okay, thank you so much. And with that, and on Chuck's point about the requirements for registries and registrars, that sort of, I think it's a good segue into our next topic, which is universal acceptance, because that might be one of the things that we want to encourage a policy for. With that, I jump right to Kim, who will give us an update. I know we're running short in time, but we'll keep moving.
I don't know if someone needs to flip a switch somewhere, but I've plugged in to this monitor cable up here. Please bear with us while I get hooked up.
Okay, we do have a question from the Adobe Connect room. Can't quite get exactly what it says, but I'll read it out, see if anyone understands it better than I do. One of the issues would be clear instructions on how IDN.IDN.GTLDs would be handled for registrants, as currently there is much confusion. I'm not quite sure what the question. So the person who's online, if you can elaborate a little bit. But Chris, you want to?
It's best as well as the person online. I mean, I'm guessing that it's stuff about second level IDNs and third level IDNs, and whether there are any differences between the top level ones and other levels.
Thank you. So Kim, Dennis, you wanted to. Okay, please.
If I may, just to emphasize that this program is all about the top level. But the experience that's developed in this top level, particularly in user experience and user acceptability, may provide considerable amount of guidance to registries at second and lower levels. But formally, this project is only about the top level.
Thank you, Dennis. Now I move to Kim.
Thanks, Edmund. So I'm going to explain to you some work that's been done within ICANN on universal acceptance of all TLDs. For those that aren't aware, within the stakeholder relations group of ICANN, they've been driving an effort to improve ICANN's contribution to this particular field. Given that that group is not actually here, I've drawn the short straw to present this slide deck to you. Now, the slide actually says universal acceptance of all TLDs, but really what it's about is ensuring that software on the internet universally accepts all domains. So it's not really just, from our perspective at least, it's not just IDN TLDs, although I know that's the focus of this group, and it's not even just TLDs, but you know, if you enter a valid domain name into a piece of software, it should work. It's really that simple. And to be clear, the notion of driving universal acceptance, it's not so much about policy. We're not talking about what TLD should be allowed or not allowed, whether it's ccTLDs or gTLDs. What we're saying is that once a domain name is in the root zone, once it's in the DNS, obviously it's got through the policy hurdles by that point, once a domain name exists, it should work. Just to illustrate some of the usability problems you can run into on a day-to-day basis. On the left, we have an illustration of a piece of software where, you know, if you enter example.com, it gets hyperlinked, it becomes clickable. But if you enter a number of other domain names, be it newer gTLDs, IDNs, or even ASCII-based representation of IDNs, you don't have a similar amount of luck. And then on the right, you have an illustration of actually entering in a fully valid domain name, but again, in a recently created TLD. So if you type in registry.sx, at least when this snapshot was taken a few weeks ago, Google's web browser won't even take you there. But then it will, strangely enough, present you with a prompt saying, did you mean to go to this website? So both of these are illustrations of software that is trying to intelligently detect what is a TLD and what is not, and failing in the process. Here's another example of another approach that is problematic, which is a form for a US bank that is asking for an email address, and for whatever reason, they have a drop-down box that forces you to select the TLD. And it's no surprise to anyone here that that list is woefully deficient in terms of the entire 313 TLDs that exist right now. So some of the causes that we see for these kinds of problems, obviously there's improper logic in software for checking for valid domains. You know, for whatever reason, the software developer has chosen an approach, but the approach doesn't suit the actual circumstances. Perhaps they had a notion of what they thought were valid TLDs, but didn't quite think it through fully. Clearly, and again, of interest to this group, lack of IDNA support. If you want to be able to adequately support IDN domain names, you need to have some notion of IDN support in your software. Another point is that software may have already had all these deficiencies corrected, but we see significant installed bases.
Apologies for cutting this short, but sure. Because we're running out of time, if you could perhaps focus a little bit on the next steps, what the team is looking to do, and then that leads into some of the discussions of how perhaps the JIC can coordinate. Because you mentioned one particular thing, which is that it is not just an IDN TLD issue, but what IDN TLDs does is that it makes it a common interest issue between CCNSO and GNSO, and that's the reason why we're focusing on it here. And we can get the support from the CCTLDs to help in the outreach and in the awareness. So apologies for jumping in, but that might be a direction.
Sure, no problem. I'm always happy to speak less. So the activities that we've done to date on this topic, There's a section on the ICANN website on this particular issue that provides some information about the topic. We've also created a TLD verification tool. probably not the best terminology there, but essentially what it is some reference code that implementers that want to implement checks the right way can take a look and either use our code if it's applicable to their situation or be inspired on how they might want to do it. Now, this work was done about 5 years ago. It does need to be updated, and on the topic of future work, possibly one of those areas is to invest some more resources into improving that code. It's open source and it's posted on GitHub, so we welcome third-party contributions to that. We've been doing consultations such as this one with ICANN stakeholders, and we've developed some technical recommendations in terms of how implementers might want to address the problem. So going forward, some of the ideas that have been discussed, and I'd stress that it's mostly at the ideas phase. There hasn't really been significant work since Costa Rica on this by the team, is what performing some kind of outreach campaign and what would that look like. Now, we have actually prepared a fact sheet for distribution here, but due to the vagaries of printing, it's not ready yet, but we expect sometime this week it'll be ready for dissemination to you to take a look at, and obviously to the broader ICANN community. I mentioned improving those verification libraries. I think above and beyond improving them, right now they don't actually support IDNs either. Our current recommendation is if you need to check TLDs, get this library. If you need to support IDNs, there's a whole bunch of other libraries, but maybe we'd benefit from those merging together. We want to have good information and educational materials so the community can point to some kind of neutral resource that advises how to support this correctly. And primarily, you know, we're looking for suggestions from you. You know, we certainly don't have a monopoly on what the right approach is here. And any advice, experiences that you've had trying to convince or support those that wish to support domains correctly that can help feed into our work and better prioritise what ICANN can do and what this team can do. You know, we only have limited resources, and if we can target that as most usefully as possible, it would be very useful input for us to have. I'll skip this because it's not really targeted at the JIC, but we have an email address that goes to the team, and they will receive emails to there with suggestions, but equally going to take notes on any suggestions you might have here or throughout the week. So thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Any particular questions? Can someone help flip to the other screen? It should be connected, but you just need to flip. If not, I guess one of the things that we want to start the discussion on is perhaps, as you mentioned, some of the suggestions of what staff, perhaps the team can help do. That's one of the things that from the discussion previously, we're looking at coming up with some suggestions for further work by the staff team. And so we'd like to get a sense of how we can help. Should any work be coordinated, and you know how, what can you know basically from the work that has already been done, anything that could be summarized or crystallized for you, this is mine, but I'm jumping back and forth, so it would be very difficult for me to. Unfortunately for the online to take a look at, but we did the JIG did put out an initial report on the subject. Public comments were received, and there's a number of the report on the comments as well. Generally supporting the direction, and also has a number of suggestions of what the JIG should do. So one of the things I want to start the discussion on, and I know we're running out of time, but part of the plan is to, as we in the last few discussions at the conference calls, is to look at coming, working on a final report from this group and focusing on some of the policy aspects, whereas suggesting further work for the staff team from some of the comments that we've received in the public comments. And I know, Kim, you mentioned that there is no policy aspects to this issue, but at least from the discussions at the JIG, we found one particular policy that is relevant to registries and registrars, and that is the requirement for registries and registrars to accept IDN TLDs or universal acceptance of TLDs. What I mean by that is registries and registrars have taken contact information or through the Whois, the registrar provides Whois and stuff. They themselves, when they collect an email address, for example, does that system support universal acceptance of TLDs? That itself is a potential requirement for registries and registrars to at least accept all the TLDs that that ICANN, you know, in the ICANN route. So, for example, if a new gTLD is added, a registrar in their system should not disallow that to be an email for a contact, for example. So that is certainly at least one of the areas that we have identified that is relevant, because I guess at least our own registries and registrars should support universal acceptance. Oh, one way, please.
Sorry, one way from Scenic. Since Edmond just mentioned the email, yes. We had a talk, we have a panel discussion about the universal for TLD, especially for IDN TLD in Costa Rica. And after that, actually, I think the email address which support the IDN should be a big issue we should consider later. Actually, SMTP extension for IDN email address has published, the standard has been published in March, and the standard for the POP and IMAP will be published in August. But as far as I noticed that a few mail service support the IDN TOD, for the mail address. I think more and more people will use the native language at the mail address, so it is easy to remember compared with the ASCII mail address, especially for those native languages, not English. So that's my suggestion. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other comments, suggestions, thoughts? If not, we have run out of time, I believe. And
Animal, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That I have another suggestion for the VIP. I'm sorry I didn't raise it earlier, but I think it's not too late. Actually,
if it's specific on the VIP, you can raise it in Thursday on Thursday at the VIP meeting, I guess.
Sure.
Right. And if you have suggestion for the JIG to follow up on the VIP, then raise it here.
Okay. I if time is enough, I will take about 1 minute about it.
I'm sorry.
Okay. The new GTLD application has been published, and we noticed that most of the members for Chinese domain name. I'm sorry. I mentioned Chinese domain name again, because about 75% of the application for IDN is for Chinese domain name. That most of the applicants applied for simplified, pure simplified, or pure traditional ones, because they are waiting for the variance policy to make sure that if it will be pair delegated or not. And some other applicant applied for both traditional and simplified, because I think they're still waiting for the policy. They don't know what kind of policy it will be, so they apply to both. So I just wondered if there are two kinds of application. One is for pure simplified or pure traditional. Another is for both traditional and simplified. So I'm not sure if it will influence our work on the variants.
I guess that's addressed to me, Dennis Jennings here. I guess I have to be a little formal because I've no rights or responsibilities or knowledge of the GTLD program and the applications. So anything I say has no weight. I'm not authorized to say anything, and I don't know enough to say anything. But I do understand that what you say is correct, that there have been a number of applications for a simplified Chinese string, a number of applications for a traditional, and in one case, two separate applications, one for a traditional and one for a simplified, which if one were to use the what we understand as the existing tables from submitted by CDNC in relation to the fast track pair, would be considered variants. Now, I can't comment on how the GTLD team are going to deal with that, but it is certainly going to inform us of the sort of issues that ICANN will have to address and the sort of tools that ICANN will must have out of the GTLD program. It also says there is a mismatch in timing, that really the IDN variant TLD program should have been started and completed a number of years ago. But as a good friend of mine says, with disarming simplicity, we are where we are, which of course is a nonsense statement, and there's nothing much we can do about it. Speaking personally, I think the new GTLT evaluation team will find a way of dealing with this, but I'm not authorized to say that.
I think that's a very good question that you raised, but again, we're running out of time. But this might be one of the cases where perhaps the J can look into whether there is actually a policy for doing that. I don't know whether, since we have Chuck here, I don't know whether you want to add or there's anything you wanted to respond to.
Well, you're probably talking about some of our applications, right? I don't know either how it will be handled. Certainly, one of the things that is encouraged in the guidebook is that applicants, work together to resolve any situation. So in the case where two strings were applied for separately, one in simplified, for example, and one in traditional, that would be variants of each other, the two applicants could reach some sort of an agreement, maybe let one go and one not. You're already aware of that, I can tell by watching you. And, of course, if it's the same applicant, that's probably a fairly easy negotiation. How they would handle it beyond that, I better not guess. I think I'm going to take Dennis's position on that.
Thank you. And with that, I'll close the session. And hopefully, for those of you who are not yet on the JIG mailing list and you're interested, please just drop me an email or tell me immediately. We're quite open to have more participation in our discussions. I think hopefully we'll get more coming out of the group. So thank you, everyone. And
thank you, Edmund, for the